confronting
him,
coming forward to attack him.
Jwalatim,
blazing like fire.
Blazing like fire.
Asi hastam, with a trident in his hand.
Vada,
with his footstep.
Bhuvam,
the surface of the earth.
Devayantim,
causing to tremble.
Samudriksha,
seeing him perfectly.
Shachala, moved,
from his place,
Nirpa,
became. Taking a trident in his hand and making the surface of the earth tremble with his footsteps, that blazing creature came before Maharaj Ambarish. But the king, upon seeing him, was not at all disturbed. It did not move even slightly from his position. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Narayana parat sarve nakhutashtina vibhyate. A pure devotee of Narayana is never afraid of any material danger. There are many examples of devotees such as Prahlad Maharaj, who was tortured by his father, but was not at all afraid, although he was only a 5-year-old boy. Therefore, following the examples of Ambarish Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, a devotee should learn how to tolerate all such awkward positions in this world. Devotees are often tortured by non-devotees, yet the pure devotee, depending fully on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God, is never disturbed by such inimical activities.
Om Jnanasya Jnanasya Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovrishtam Sthapitam Yena Gurave Swayam Rupa Sarvayam Tadati Swapratantikam Vande Ram Shri Guru Shri Vatadravana Shri Guru Vaishnavam Chara Shri Rupa Sajnaradam Sajnaradam Tam Sajivam Sajritam Sajdutam Parinatavitam Krishna Devanitetevam Shri Radha Krishna Radha Sarana Radha Shri Sarvam Kamsa He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhyana Kanda Ujjate Gopesha Gopya Kanda Radha Kanda Namaste Sarva Kanda Gopangi Shri Krishna Chaitanya
Kirtan, the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 4 entitled Ambarish Maharaj Offended by Durvasa Muni, text number 47. We find ourselves in the midst of a historical conflict. Ambarish is a family man with one wife, children, holding a service to the society as king. Now the spirit of Ambarish Maharaj was not as a political controller who had any self-interest, but simply the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, who was given this position because he was the most qualified. He came in the line of great kings, but essentially was fully aware, Sarva Loka Maheshwara, that everything is in the property of God. Nothing is mine. Therefore, he had nothing to hold on to. As long as we think anything is mine, whether it's our body, whether it's our position in society, our particular occupational duty, our family, our wealth, our possessions, there must be fear. Because dukalaya mashash, everything in this world is uncertain. The only certainty is that everything is uncertain. No matter who we are, whether we're a king, whether we're a multi-billionaire, or whether we're just a simple clerk, life is uncertain. Our health is uncertain. The whole situation in this world and the environment is uncertain. And it's not just something now. It's always been like that. And it will always be that. Because that's the way this creation is made. Everything is temporary. You cannot really hold on to anything or anyone for long. And if we are attached to anything, then potentially there will be fear. Fear of losing what we have. But one who understands that my body is the property of God, my intelligence is the property of God, whatever position or occupational situation I have is just my service to God, my family, my wealth. Manaso deho deho jo kichu mo mo. Bhakti Vinodre, my mind, my body, my home, my wealth, my everything is your property, Krishna. I'm your servant. And there's no fear. My dear godbrother Niranjan Swami Maharaj was telling me about when he first went to the former Soviet Union. That's what it was, the Soviet Union. The KGB had their agents watching everyone, everywhere, at all times. And at that time, the Hare Krishna movement was illegal. And if people were caught practicing or propagating a philosophy that was not at all harmonious with what they were trying to teach people, they would be arrested, sent to prison camps, tested with all kinds of experimental drugs, and some died, some were tortured. And anyone who wanted to be a devotee knew that it could happen to them. But yet it was growing and growing and growing. Maharaj would disguise himself and go in as a tourist. And then somehow or other, she would tell the tourist leader, I have to make a phone call. And he would disappear go to somebody's house and then give some lectures. And he said one of their most favorite songs was by Govinda Das. Bhajahure mana srinanda nandana apayat sharana ravindare Dulabh mana vajana masat sange dhurahe bhava sindhure. Because this particular song, they sang it with such feeling. They would scream it out. They wouldn't just recite it. The content of these lines of this beautiful bhajan was life or death for them. The translation, my dear mind, please worship Sri Nandanandan, Lord Krishna. For only in taking shelter completely of his lotus feet can one be fearless. Actually, Krishna is the only shelter from fear. Because Krishna is the only one who can save us from birth and death. So Ambarish Maharaj, he had no false ego. Janasi Moho, the Muhammad Meiji, the Lion Nine. Srila Prabhupada, when he was on Javaduta, he just had two heart attacks, seasickness. He had 40 unchangeable rupees. And he didn't know anybody. And he was about to get off that ship. And he really wasn't certain if anyone was going to be there to meet him. As far as I remember, just last summer there was a reunion in Butler, Pennsylvania, the first place Prabhupada went to stay in there. And his hosts, Gopal and Sally Agarwal, were there to speak about their remembrances of Srimad Prabhupada. And in those days, the mail was practically as slow as the cargo ship boats. So when they got the letter, the Prabhupada was coming. Swamiji, they called him. It was just like a few days before his boat was to arrive. They were unprepared. Not only that, they were never able to write back to even confirm that they got his letter or that they would be there to greet him. So Prabhupada never met these persons, and he had no idea whether they got the letter or whether they were going to be there. When they got the message, they really didn't even want him. Their father, who lived in Agra, so many people said, because in those days, to have a son that's in America, so many people wanted to go. The father would say, you know, give a sponsorship to the American embassy next year. They did that several times, but nobody ever came. And they did it again for some Swamiji, and they thought, he'll never come. But then the letter comes. It's a ride. We're going to do it with the Swamiji. Sally Agarwal was a really American woman. And her husband was an Americanized Indian. They met in college, and I remember Prabhupada said when he first met Gopal Agarwal's father, in Agra, He was revealing, he's pouring his heart out to Prabhupada. He said, my son, he wanted this advanced education in America. Now he's an American. He got trapped by an American woman. And now he's married to her. And he was asking Prabhupada to give him some solace. He said, what to do? My son is gone. And Prabhupada said, Guru Maharaj, you want me to preach right now? I took 7 minutes from the preacher's letter. Nothing ever happened. And sometime later, some months later, Prabhupada gets a letter from the American Embassy. We have a sponsorship for him. So when he was just approaching America on Boston Harbor, he wrote this beautiful poem. Krishna, your prophet, just make me dance as you want me to dance. Let me be your prophet. That was his mood. That is the mood of a great song. That was Ambarisha's mood. Ambarisha Maharaj wasn't thinking, I am so great, I will go down in history as a king. No one can conquer me. He was just thinking himself to be a puppet of the Lord. My intelligence, my strength, whatever I have is all by God's grace. When we have this consciousness, there is no fear. But when we think that this is mine, we identify with a particular identity, there must be fear. Now, Guru Vasa Muni, he came to Ambarish Maharaj's house, at his house, his place in Madhuban, in Vrindavan, where he was performing a fast for a long time, performing, and he was doing tapasya to purify his heart and for the welfare of his citizens. Guru Vasa Muni, I'm here for prasad. But first I must take my bath in Yamuna. While he was in Yamuna, Ambarish Maharaj was fasting a long time. How did he fast? And in order for his fast to be auspicious and fruitful, he had to end the fast by a certain time. Now in Kali Yuga, all these technicalities are not taken so seriously. But in previous ages, these technicalities were very, very important to follow. The main reason they were so important to follow was people actually had the capacity to do them very meticulously. So the last morning he went in Yamuna, he began to chant mantras, and then he went into some kind of samadhi. And he lost track of time. And Ambarish Maharaj asked some Brahmin advisors that the time of breaking fast is coming seconds away. Everything's ruined. All this year of my fasting is and my tapasya will be nullified if I don't break it in time. By drinking a little water, charanamrita, it's considered simultaneously fasting and not fasting. So I will drink a little drop of charanamrita. And everyone said, yes, it is proper intelligence. Authorized. So he drank. Gurasamuni was so confident. As soon as Ambarish Maharaj drank, Ambarish and Gurasa's distance away, it just jolted him right out of his meditation. He drank a drop of charanamrita before he fed his guest. You know, in those days, when a guest comes to your house, it was a very, very important duty to take care of your guest before you eat yourself. But Vasamuni comes and he blasphemes with rage. His eyes were glowing with anger. His lips were trembling. But Vasamuni, can you imagine having someone like that screaming at you? He's an expansion of Lord Shiva. Born of Atrimuni and Anasuya, Lord Shiva expanded to become Durvasamuni. He was a powerful yogi with all 8 mystic cities. And he's just accusing Ambarish of the most horrible things, being uncomfortable. culture, uncivilized, offensive, misleading humanity. And the culmination was to the hair from his chanted and marched, slammed it to the ground. He created this demon made out of fire. And was absolutely ferocious. Who had the power to devour planets. It was inches away from Andarish Maharaj. Screaming, howling, and ready to pounce on him to destroy him. And I tried to do this. Would you be afraid in that situation? In this verse we're reading today, Andarish Maharaj didn't even move. He didn't even. The demon was taking steps toward him, and he didn't even take a step backward. He just stood with folded hands, taking shelter from the Lord. Bari Krishna Raki Kayaki Krishna Yami. Krishna, if you want to destroy me, I'm yours. If you want to save me, who could harm me? Such surrender. And that type of surrender attracts the Lord to protect. Narayana, Prabhupada quotes, Narayana parasarave nakutashtana devyate swaraka prabharga narakeshu apipajata darshan. This is a special quality of the real devotee. A devotee is not concerned with life or death, with heaven or hell, with honor or dishonor, happiness, distress, success, failure, pleasure, pain. These things come of their own accord, whether you want them or not. Prahlad Maharaj says, you're not struggling for pain, but it comes. And similarly, even if you don't struggle for pleasure, it will come. You don't struggle to be miserable, but it comes. So similarly, even if you don't struggle for happiness, it will come. It's the nature of the world. We all have our karmic destinies, and the world is made the way it is. Whoever you are, look at the biggest, most successful and powerful preachers. Go into their house and see what's going on. So many problems, so many difficulties, so many struggles. And the common man is the same situation. The only real peace. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana. Sudhulabha prasantatma kotesho bhima. Even liberation doesn't give you permanent peace. Even attaining all the eight mystic cities doesn't give you permanent peace. Even elevation to the throne of Indra will not give you real peace. But a person with all humility and devotion loves Krishna. That person is really peaceful. Why? Because it is our natural condition. It is our constitutional nature as eternal servant of the servant of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of a cat, mother cat, when a rat is in the jaws of the mother cat. What does the rat see in the mother? Death. But when a kitten, a little kitten, is in a baby kitten, in the mouth of the mother, totally protected. The same cat. Same mouth. Krishna tells in Gita, Yega Tamam Prabhupada Tamas Kutaka Bhattam. As you approach me, that's how I will reveal myself. Krishna says, time I am. In this world as time, the Supreme Lord is devouring everything. But when we see Krishna, it's a source of time. In every situation, we can actually, if we seek the shelter of Krishna, we'll find the shelter of Krishna.
Therefore, because there are so many reversals in this world, and these reversals are actually created to help us bring, to help bring us closer to God. The inevitable reversals, that's their purpose. To detach ourselves from our own egoistic identities and take shelter of the Lord as his servant. It is such an important principle, most important principle, that that's one of the main topics of every scripture. Examples of how great personalities faced reversals. Again and again, the Pandavas. If Duryodhana was just a nice cousin, we would have been no longer the Gita. We would have never heard of the Pandavas. It would have just been like so many other great rulers of the past. But how many reversals? They were being blasphemed. There was propaganda, horrible propaganda of lies against them. There was people trying to murder them, plundered them, exploited them, banished them, humiliated them, everything. But how do they respond? By turning to Krishna. And ultimately Krishna gave them everything. It's all about deciding Prahlad Maharaj. If Hiranyakashipu was a gentleman, who would have cared about Prahlad Maharaj? So many millenniums later. But we are all so much concerned with this Prahlad Maharaj because he was tortured and blasphemed and so many attempts to his life. How many could they not? Not only could Hiranyakashipu not kill him, but drove Hiranyakashipu absolutely insane, who took all of his power. With all of his influence, he couldn't even disturb Prahlad. Couldn't even disturb him. Couldn't even get the smile off his face. For somebody who had conquered Indra and conquered all the demigods, it says that when Hiranyakashipu raised his eyebrow, the demigods would tremble in fear and bow down to him. That for years he was trying to destroy Prahlad. He couldn't even speak God. Offering obeisances to his father all the time. He couldn't even, his father couldn't even get him to be angry with him. He couldn't even get him to dislike him. Because Prahlad was always remembering Krishna. He didn't want anything from Krishna. When Lord Narasimhadeva offered him any benediction, Prahlad said, "Please, my Lord, don't tempt me in this way by offering me something. That would make me not a devotee if I take anything from you. That means I'm a businessman. I'm just doing business with you. I'm giving you my worship and love and all of this stuff because I want something in return for myself. That's not love. I'm yours. I want nothing from you. I only want to serve you. I only want to reward you. If you want to give me everything, anything, please give me the benediction that I'll never forget you. That I'll never fall into egoistic thinking." But Narasimhadeva insisted, "I want to give you something. It's my wish. Please, me, take something." He said, "As long as there's materialistic people in this world who are suffering without understanding your love, let me keep being born in this world to help them to know. And as far as my father, he's so sinful. He caused so much pain to so many people. Tried to kill me in every way. Give him liberation." Lord Narasimhadeva said, "Not only your father, 21 generations of past and future of all your ancestors and relatives,
we'll all get liberation because of your love for me. And that is the benediction Krishna gives to all devotees who give their lives to the Lord. Many examples. And here we have Ambarish. Srila Prabhupada writes, very important. One's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. That is a great person. Not a person with fame, not a person with wealth, not a person with power. That's not really a great person in the eyes of God or in the eyes of other great people. Like, one's greatness has to be estimated according to how one is able to tolerate provoking situations. If no provoking situations come in your life, then there's no opportunity to be great. But they will come. The opportunity will be there. The example of the river, the biggest of the strong animals, the elephant. I've seen elephants in Guru Vayur take their trunk and wrap it around a tree and pull it right out of the trunk and just throw the tree right. As the she elephants are washing. Strong. Strong. An elephant goes in a river that has a very swift current, it's washed away to death. But no fish, this big, goes in the river. Upstream, downstream, crossstream. Now, let's put that elf and that fish in a wrestling arena together. Who's going to win? Oh, the elephant just one step would crush it to death. There's no comparison in strength, physical power. But yet, the elephant is washed to death in the river, and the fish is just blissfully swimming any way he wants, or she wants. Why? Because the fish has learned to take shelter of the river. The elephant, with all his power and all his strength, has not learned to take shelter of the river, and therefore is destroyed by the river. His whole material nature is Krishna's energy. Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate kittimatvata jantena buddha bhava samantita. All material and all spiritual worlds, they are all emanating from Krishna. One who learns to take shelter of Krishna can be peaceful and protected in every situation. But one who doesn't, however powerful they may be, will be ultimately washed away by the waves of nature. For Lord Maharaj, what was his power compared to his father? And Ambarish Maharaj, what was his power compared to Durvasa? Their power was their humility. Their power was their love for God, their devotion to God, and their ability to tolerate provoking situations with dignity. Even from a moral point of view, to be a good person means you have to really be able to tolerate provoking situations. Because there are so many temptations to violate morality. to be dishonest, to cheat others, to fall into sinful activities and immoral activities. It's so easy. Actually, in this world, it's so easy to do the wrong thing. But it's very difficult to do the right thing. Yes? It's easy to fail an exam in school. But it's very difficult to get a good grade in an exam. That happens to be the way life is. It's easy to give in to your senses and do the wrong thing. It's very easy to cheat on your wife. It's really easy. I've never been married, but that's psychologically analyzed. And it's very easy to cheat on your husband, too. And it's very difficult to be chaste and faithful. It's very easy to be on your job on time. I mean, it's very difficult to be on your job on time every day. It's very easy to just sleep as much as you want. It's very easy to give in to lust and anger and greed. And it's very difficult to not give in. To do anything right in this world in due course of time is going to be very difficult. There will be so many provoking situations. One's greatness is one is willing to live and die for one's ideal. And the ultimate ideal is to live in the loving service of the Lord. Individually and collectively, the greatness of ourselves, of our society, is how we're willing to tolerate provoking situations. We may be attacked emotionally, physically, socially, attacked by Maya through temptations, through aversions, through other people. Actually, if we read the scriptures, most of the great souls had people who were really envious of them. Like Durvasamuni and Ambarish. Durvasamuni was envious of Ambarish. Duryodhana was envious of the Pandava. Hiranyakashipu was envious of Prahlad. Why? They were not envious of anyone. Yudhisthira Maharaj was the greatest well-wisher of Duryodhana in the whole world. Prahlad was the greatest well-wisher of Hiranyakashipu. And we find in this story, this mighty, powerful, fiery demon is coming to devour Ambarish Maharaj, and he feels no negativity toward the person trying to kill him, either the demon or Durvasa. He's just absorbed in Krishna. That's, Krishna, if this is what you want to be my end, he didn't even lift a finger to defend himself. He just gave himself to Krishna. And one who does like this, Krishna defends. Krishna sent his Sudarshan Chakra, destroyed the fiery demon, and then one left right after Durvasa Muni. Now, if Durvasa Muni was like Ambarish Maharaj, he would have just stood there like that. But what did he do? He ran away. Could he run fast enough? He started flying. He was flying fast. He went to Brahmaloka, he went to Shivaloka, he went to Vaikunthaloka. And all the time, this Sudarshan was right behind him. Brahma said, I can't help you. Vishnu, defended the devotee, I can't help you. Lord Shiva said, you should. Vishnu's devotee, you have to go to Vishnu. He went to Vishnu. Vishnu said, I can't help you. Sadhunam hridayam mayam sadhunam hridayam paham manayatena jananti naham tebya manakati. But don't you know that my devotee has given their heart to me, therefore I have given my heart to my devotee. My devotee lives only for me, therefore I live only for my devotee. that I have no power to help you. I have given my heart to Ambarish Maharaj, and he's given his heart to me. I'm always in his heart. If you attack him, attacking me. I'm bound by his love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said about his devotee, he said, I am the prisoner in the heart of my devotee. And that is what Krishna finds the most pleasure in, being the prisoner in the heart of his devotee. And what is that prison? He's bound by the bars of love, the devotee. So attracted, so conquered by the love of his devotee, he cannot escape his devotee's heart. Like Bilbo Mangala Thakur said to Nanda Mahaprabhu, he said, you may be able to get out of my hand and escape. He was a blind man, and he finally found Krishna in his hand. And Krishna said, I have to go home and milk the cows. He said, no, stay, no, I'm not going. And finally, Krishna slipped out. He said, you may be able to go out of my hand, but you'll never escape my heart. That is Krishna's nature. The Lord Narayan told me about the Muni that only if you go back to Ambarish Maharaj and beg his permission can you be saved. So the Rasa Muni went all the way back to Vrindavan and fell at the feet of Ambarish. And Ambarish was standing there for a whole year, still couldn't eat. And he's such a gentleman, he wouldn't eat before he fed his guest. And the Rasa Muni was perspiring and weeping and just, I beg forgiveness, I made a big mistake. Now when you ask forgiveness from someone, for it to actually be effective, it has to come from your heart. You have to really understand I'm wrong and be repentant. Otherwise your forgiveness is just lip service. Mm-hmm. It's not that you can just offend a devotee and then just say, I'm sorry, I'm free of the offense now. No more opera, no, the mad elephant won't get me. Krishna wants to see if you make an offense that you really, really are sorry for what you've done and you really want to change your ways, then you're forgiven by the Lord. Now it's very interesting. Srila Prabhupada, Ambarish Maharaj, not only forgave Durvasa Muni, but he was praying from his heart of hearts to Krishna to bless Durvasa Muni. When Haridas Thakur was being beaten through 22 marketplaces, not only was he chanting the holy names, but the whole time he was being beaten, he was praying to the Lord to forgive and give love of God to the people trying to kill him. When Jesus Christ was on the crucifix, he prayed, forgive them, my Lord, they know not what they do. This is a Vaishnava problem. So herein it is explained by Prabhupada that one's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. And when it comes to tolerating, Prabhupada's main emphasis is forgiveness. One's greatness is actually to be measured by how one can forgive others, even when they put us in very, very colloquial situations. Tolerance means to control our mind and senses when there's temptations and aversions and not given. That's a type of tolerance. To tolerate lust, to tolerate greed, to tolerate anger. But when Prabhupada talks about addiction or tolerance, what he emphasizes the most is forgiveness. Tolerating injustices and forgiving those persons. And that is the theme of every great personality we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not to blame others. Tate nukam bhamsa samikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vibhagate. and Bhagva Gurbirva Dadamnama Steji Vetina Mukta Padesa Dhanama. Even in a provoking situation, difficulty, even if it causes suffering, a devotee with folded palms will thank God. I deserve worse. You're only giving me a sandal out of your mercy to help me in my spiritual life. I'm grateful to you. Only that person has the rightful claim to liberation according to his creed. But it is not easy. But when we study the lives of such great personalities as we're reading today, and we pray, this is what I want, this is what I strive, this is what I prepare myself to be a real instrument in God's hands, to take shelter and to forgive. That we become very dear to the Lord. That is how we can follow the footsteps of the great souls. Trinada Bisnichina, Tanori Basihishina, Amanina, Manate, Kirtaniya Sadhari. This is the mood in which we should chant the holy names, exactly what we're reading about today. Be humble like a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. Forgiving. Offering all respect to others, Ambarish is offering all respect to us. And not expecting anything in return, he didn't get any. In this moment, Krishna will bless us and empower us to taste the sweetness of his holy name. So that we can chant. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you for tolerating me for so long. And if I only hope that the devotees can tolerate and forgive me. And especially when you have 4 minutes of our time. Thank you very, very much.
Shri Prabhupada. His Holiness, Radha.